Carl Dix, a member of the Revolutionary Communist Party. He's a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party. He's also a co-founder with Cornell West of the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. And with Cornell, he issued the call for Rise Up October. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Michael.
Now, you know, Carl, this is the first time that we've ever sat face-to-face on this show, this particular show.
That's true.
All right. Well, let's take advantage of it. Let's talk for a long time, man.
Okay.
I want to get into this. This, you know, every day we're looking at this stuff. And we were going to have Reverend McCory on, but we weren't able to talk about it. We weren't able to reach in. Something, we just couldn't make that connection. But I want to talk to you about this because every day, it seems, we're seeing some new atrocity committed against the people. And sometimes it's, yes, every 28 hours, a black person is killed by the police. At the same time, it seems like even more so, you're finding things that come up where something happens where the justifications, the exonerations, the forgiving of all this is being done, which adds insult to injury, which murders a person twice. Let's talk about Tamir Rice and what was just recently done with that.
Yeah, we have to talk about this because what was done in the case of Tamir Rice is that the authorities in Cleveland, in particular the prosecutor, but it's really the whole system, is greasing the skids to exonerate the police who murdered 12-year-old Tamir. That is all that you can say about it. The prosecutor requested reports and reviews of the case from two sources with real pro-police track records, got those reports coming back with the usual justifications for cops murdering people, and he got them to put them before the grand jury, but instead he released them to the public. Now, he's supposed to be preparing a grand jury, but think about this, a grand jury 11 months after Tamir was killed, a killing that many of us have seen again and again on videotape. A little boy sitting in the park. A police car runs up to within a few feet of him, and as it grinds to a halt, a cop gets out and shoots Tamir down less than 2 seconds after the police car arrived on the scene. Just gunned him down, even before the car came to a full stop. How can you justify that? But these pro-police sources did justify it, and the prosecutor releases that material to the public. No other material being presented to the grand jury comes out to the public, just these reports aimed at justifying this murder. So they're greasing the skids to let these cops go, and it is outrageous. It's ludicrous. Because they don't even address the fact, okay, it's a 12-year-old boy with a toy gun. These reports say, well, how did the cops know that? But see, here's another thing they left out. They don't even address the fact that Ohio is an open carry state, a state where Second Amendment advocates, all of the ones I've seen being white, walk around carrying guns, real guns, out in the open, not hiding them, walking down the street. I've seen them being walked by, driven by police officers who don't go charging into those situations to find out what's going on. But a report that there is a black person who might have a gun becomes a time to ride in like, you know, cowboys in the Wild West shooting. That's what they did. This was murder most foul, and they are trying to create public opinion to get off with this. And this is something that we must reject. Not just that people in Cleveland have to reject, although they have to reject it too, but nationwide, we have to say, no, this is unacceptable. It's got to stop, and we demand justice for Tamir.
Let me ask you this, because one of the things I was thinking about as I read this, and as when I heard about it and as I read about it, you know, one of the things that happens here is that, and I saw that the lawyer for the family and the family, Tamir Rice's family, has been talking about this too, that it really reminded them of what was done in Ferguson in terms of the grand jury and the rest of this stuff. And Reverend McCory, one of the things he said he was enraged by this, but he wasn't all that surprised because he said, look, it was murder most foul, as you just said. That would demand an indictment, not let's go to the grand jury and see what happens. You know, why weren't these cops indicted for what was clearly a crime?
Yeah, well, see, there's a process that killings done by police go through, and it's a process of a whitewash. You know, you take it, even when you see it happen, when it's Eric Garner and you watched on TV as they choked him to death, or Tamir Rice, where you watch the video again and again, or even like Gilbert Flores in San Antonio, a young Latino man who was gunned down by police with his hands up, caught on video. He ran from them, decided he couldn't get away, stopped, turned around, put his hands in the air, and they shot him anyway. But there's a process that these kinds of killings go through, even when they're open and shut murder cases to anybody with any kind of humanity and common sense. They collect information, they put it before the grand jury, and then they steer the grand jury in a way to engineer an exoneration for the murdering cops. And that's what's being done in Cleveland. And we got to say, we ain't having this no more. We're going to be saying that here in New York at Rise Up October and coming out of Rise Up October. Look, I'm going to be proposing that we carry this battle through. November 22nd is going to be the anniversary, 1 year since the murder of Tamir Rice. There's already activity planned in Ohio around this. I'm going to be calling on people to act around the country on November 22nd and to carry this battle forward in as many ways as possible, because we have to say no. You've doubled down on unleashing your cops to brutalize and murder our people. Well, we're going to step up our resistance to it.
Let me ask you this. I want to get into that in a minute. I really want to get deeper into that in an overall sense, the whole question of Rise Up October and what's going on in this country right now, what's confronting people. But I also want to ask you this, and again, this comes from reading some of what Reverend McCory was saying, but I know you've been thinking about this too. This whole point about what that those reports that were given to the grand jury and were released publicly, what they did in terms of the creation of public opinion, and also what's going to happen in the grand jury. And, you know, the way you grease a grand jury, you know, as a prosecutor greases a grand jury, is supposed to be like, you know, and think about it, a prosecutor is supposed to be prosecuting the person that's suspected of a crime. But instead, you're greasing it so that it actually comes out and says what? That this was reasonable. And why was it reasonable for the police to slaughter, to gun down a 12-year-old child? Because they felt they didn't create the violent situation. They were in danger. They were threatened by the violent situation. What the hell was the violent situation they didn't create? What do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that is you must think we're deaf, dumb, and blind if you think we're going to buy that. I looked at the video. There's a boy sitting there. Even with the report that there was an individual with a gun, the cops charged into the situation. The only reason there was any confrontation is because they confronted Tamir. It was not a confrontation that dropped from on high. They created it. There was no time to investigate the situation because of their actions. So from the very beginning, their actions are what led to the death of Tamir. And it's actually both the cops, you know, because one of them drives in, charges at Tamir, and then the other one jumps out and fires the kill shot. So they worked together to carry this murder out. It was all their responsibility and their culpability from the beginning, to use a legal term. So don't tell us that they had no choice. They had a choice, and they carried it out, and they carried it out the way police almost always do when it comes down to confrontations with Black and Latino people. They treat them as if they are criminals to be taken down and murdered if necessary, and questions will be asked later, but we're going to take them out. And that's the approach they took to Tamir, and it is the approach that police are oriented and trained to take, and take far too often, and it's something that's got to be stopped, and Rise Up October is about stopping it. And it brings to mind, because as I sat and listened to Nicholas, I was reflecting, Nicholas Hayward Jr., Tamir Rice, Andy Lopez, John Crawford, Black and Latino people who were gunned down having toy guns. And it's like people say, well, I even heard people commenting around this case, well, they should stop pointing those toy guns at the cops. In none of those cases did they point the toy gun at the cops. They just had a toy gun. And it's like you can't have a toy gun if you're black or Latino. And it basically brings us back to Dred Scott, the 1857 Supreme Court case that said that black people have no rights that white people are bound to respect. Well, that's the approach that the criminal injustice system in this country takes. Black people, brown people have no rights that must be respected by this criminal injustice system. And we have to actually strip the legitimacy off of that system, show that it is illegitimate at its heart and that it needs to stop. And it also brought to mind a quote that Bob Avakian recently did, coming off of the massacre in Charleston, but also in general what's been going on in this country. And here's the quote. I wanted to read that for the listeners. There is the potential for something of unprecedented beauty to arise out of unspeakable ugliness. Black people playing a crucial role in putting an end at long last to this system, which has for so long not just exploited, but dehumanized, terrorized, and tormented them in a thousand ways. Putting an end to this in the only way it can be done, by fighting to emancipate humanity, to put an end to the long night in which human society has been divided into masters and slaves, and the masses of humanity have been lashed, beaten, raped, slaughtered, shackled, and shrouded in ignorance and misery. And see, that captures it, because unspeakable horrors are being committed against the people. But out of these horrors, there have been people, you know, people like Nicholas Hayward, like Tamir Rice's mother, like Alice Howell in Zion, Illinois, all of them parents, and in some cases grandparents, of people murdered by the police, who have, in the face of that unspeakable horror and the great loss, stood up and become fighters, not just for their murdered loved ones, but fighters against all this injustice. And that is what gives the basis and the potential for bringing some great beauty out of this by ending this. And Rise Up October's got a lot of different people who come at this a lot of different ways, religious people of different faiths and denominations, young people who are horrified by the injustice, family members who are motivated by trying to deal with their loss. But it also has people like me, revolutionary communists. And look, it's going to take revolution, nothing less, to end this once and for all. And I encourage people to get into the strategy for revolution, the leadership we have, and to go to the website revcom.us. And I also say to people, wherever you're coming from, if you got an ounce of justice in your heart, whatever you think the problem or the solution is, you got to stand up. You got to be a part of Rise Up October. Don't think you can sit on the sidelines and be neutral.
Let me ask you this. And this is something that I, you know, I've been thinking about a lot. This whole point that there's actually, you know, do you think it's an exaggeration to say that there is an actual war being waged in this society today, that there's a war being waged against black and Latino people today in this society? You think that's an exaggeration?
Well, no, I don't think it's an exaggeration. Being somebody who tries to be scientific about stuff, I call it a genocide that's being carried out, because war has more of a two-sided thing. And so far, the people side is not really in the game enough. So I prefer to look at it as a genocide's being carried out. And see, when I say that, I ain't trying to hype nothing up. The actual definition of genocide is putting any group of people in whole or in part in a situation where they cannot survive and thrive as a people. And that's definitely being done today in this country with black people, with Latino people, and I'll add to that indigenous people in this country, the people who used to live on the whole land and got it stolen from them and nearly wiped out. Because when you look at the way in which the youth are criminalized, you know, elementary school children being sent, you know, to the police, put in cuffs, taken into custody for acting up in class, people being pushed out of school, people being racially profiled, criminalized, treated as guilty until proven innocent, if they can survive to prove their innocence, warehoused in prison, brutalized, harassed, and even murdered by the police. You got people who are put in a situation where they cannot survive and thrive as a people. That's what we're dealing with. That's how desperate this situation is. And people need to grasp that, wake up to it, dig into what's the source of all this and what's the solution. But also, even as they're doing that, they need to act to stop it. Which side are you on?
Let's talk about that, because this is one of the things that actually struck me in a lot of what you're talking about is that, you know, people can look at this and yes, I think the genocide is actually a very, very important question. It's not a question, a very important fact. And it is, in fact, this. And there's, at the same time, there's a whole effort to where people need to use. You once said that it's not so much about what's going on, but what are we going to do about it? And there's a whole point here where even as people stand up, there's part of this sort of political moral war that's going on against the people. Another aspect of the genocide where you actually create the acceptance of the dehumanization of a whole people, you know, where you get things, these ridiculous things like we were talking about, the cops didn't create the violent situation or cops put their lives on the line. Can't you understand that? You know, that's the way they do it, right? That's what they're telling people. These are the brave boys in blue. You know, they're going out against a heathen mob that's out there waiting at every corner to gun them down. You know, and this is the idea, is that Nicholas was talking about this earlier. The idea that somehow when you walk through a neighborhood of oppressed nationalities, you're supposed to fear for your life. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You're supposed to fear for your life because there are killers in there. And this is dangerous territory. You know, the Joe Friday scene, all that stuff, right? This is the kind of thing. So let's talk about that a little bit, because that's another aspect, this dehumanization that is very, very important in terms of what we're going up against today.
Yeah, it's dehumanization and demonization. Trying to get people to accept the lies that these people that this is being done to actually deserve what happened to them. Michael Brown looked like a demon in the words that Darren Wilson gave to the grand jury to justify gunning him, shooting at him as he ran away and then gunning him down as he turned to face Darren Wilson and put his hands in the air. You know, all of that is used to justify all of the hell that this brought down, the policing of these communities, black and Latino communities, like occupying armies by the police. Even the talk about Black Lives Matter being a hate group that's responsible for a war on the police, when the actual reality is that since the inception of Black Lives Matter, killings of police have gone down. You know, that is actually the reality. But if you're in Fox News land, the reality gets turned on its head and police are under siege and being gunned down and need to act aggressively in response to that. When the actual reality is whose lives are at risk are the people in these communities that they over-police. Our young people who in any conflict with the police, it comes down to that a teenager or even a young child has the weight of trying to survive, and the so-called trained law enforcement person gets the benefit of the doubt. That is upside down. That's wrong.
No, it's so much. It's so rare we get the chance to sit down like this and talk. So I've been like just digging into what you got to say, but we have about 5 minutes, 6 minutes left to do it. And you made the point that what's important is what you do today, and that there's a question posed for people, which side which do you side stand you on? Let's talk about that. Let's go through that for the next 5 minutes or so, all right?
Okay. Which side are you on? Because there is no neutrality in the face of a genocide. You cannot say I'm neutral in situations where people are being brutalized, beat down, and even murdered, warehoused in prison by those who are sworn to protect and serve. You got to either be on the side of standing up and acting to stop it, or you're on the side that says it's okay for that to continue. And everybody who wants to stop it and wants to see it stop, there is a way that you can get involved right now. You can throw in right now as part of Rise Up October, three powerful days of resistance to stop police terror. It's happening next week, and wherever you are in the country, you can be a part of this. Let's go through those 3 days. October 22nd, the 20th Annual National Day of Protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. It's going to be marked this year in a couple of ways. We're going to begin the morning of October 22nd in Times Square. I believe it's at 10 a.m. we're going to start, and there's going to be no more stolen lives. Say their names. And family members of people murdered by the police are going to gather in Times Square together with prominent voices of conscience, artists, clergy, people from many different backgrounds, and we are going to read the names of those murdered by police, and the families are going to tell their stories. This is going to kick off Rise Up October and the 20th Annual National Day of Protest to Stop Police Brutality. Also on October 22nd, there are going to be protests, rallies, and marches in many different parts of the country. Nicholas said we got 20 cities logged in so far. I'm sure there are going to be more as we get closer to October 22nd. Here in New York, it's going to be in Brooklyn, Cadman Plaza. And look, people really need to be in Times Square and then come over to Cadman Plaza afterward to be in Brooklyn for the rally and then the march to the Barclays Center. We're going to get there probably a little after 3 and rally again at the Barclays Center. That's October 22nd. Friday, October 23rd, is going to be a nonviolent direct action with the focus of shut down Rikers Island, the largest penal institution in the United States with 19,000 plus people in any one day, two-thirds of whom are only in jail because they are unable to meet the bail that the city has put on them. In other words, it's a debtor's prison. At the same time, it's a place where brutality and torture is routine. This has got to stop, and we are stepping up the struggle to stop it. We're going to kick it off on Friday, October 23rd, and be involved. Get the information and be there. We're going to start in the morning, and I'll give you the website you can go to pay attention to get the information. Then Saturday, October 24th, 11 a.m., Washington Square Park. Thousands and thousands of people from around the country are going to descend into New York City at that spot. They're going to meet up with thousands upon thousands of people from the New York City area. And together we're going to march through Manhattan, ending up at Bryant Park at 42nd Street and 6th Avenue. We are going to be delivering a message, stop police terror, which side are you on, to the whole country and before the eyes of the world. You know, because what has been going down are unspeakable horrors. The authorities have doubled down on this, continued them, intensified them. And it's either going to be the case that we hit the streets with even greater determination and greater numbers to say that this must stop, or they're going to continue and intensify. And we cannot allow that to happen, sisters and brothers. Too many lives have already been lost to not struggle against this, and many more lives will be lost as long as we fail to act to stop it. That's what we're calling on you to do right now. Which side are you on? Get on the side of acting to stop it. And here's the things you got to do. You got to go to the website, and there's a couple of websites to go to. There is riseupoctober.org, riseupoctober.org. There's also the Stop Mass Incarceration Network website, which is stopmassincarceration.net. And there's a couple of phone numbers. I only got one of them here if you want to go old school. 929-249-7996 is a number to reach Rise Up October. And you could also go to the website october22nd.org to get more information on the protest in Brooklyn. Go to those websites, find out what's happening, support the activities in every way that you can, and be out in the streets October 22nd through the 24th.